Springs Baptist Church, and welcome to our Christmas service. Glad y'all are here this morning. Say amen. Glad y'all are here. It's good to see y'all and glad we could gather together today. And just want to read a scripture to you, and then we're going to look at the prayer request here. It says, the angel said to them, speaking of the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Isn't that a blessing that we have? It's good news for everyone, not just the rich, not just the poor, not just the those of power, but for everyone who believes in Christ. He is our Savior, our God, and our King. Let us pray. Kind fathers, we come before you this morning and just begin this service. We begin this service, Lord, before we do anything else, by just praising you for being God, for loving us in such a way that you sent your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, fully God, fully man, that he may take away our sins, bring us peace to be reconciled to you so that we can worship our Most High God. Now, Lord, we just ask for your Spirit to empower us to steal our hearts from the busyness of the week. Help our minds not be afraid of the things that we can't change. Not to be afraid of the unknown things coming in 2022. But, Lord, that we would trust you. We would hear from you today. And we would leave here worshiping you for all that we have seen, heard, and been told. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to continue to remember Aaron and Spresa Smith on the mission field, and Ariane on the mission field, Gabe and Katie on the mission field. Katie come a lot here before to some revivals and things. She's actually kin to Mona and I. Before she went on the mission field, and she come back here back to summer, didn't have a chance to come to Hunt Springs, but they're supposed to be coming back to North Carolina this week, and we want to just keep them all lifted up in prayer, and all our missionaries abroad with the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board. Also, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we're still taking up offerings for that. There's envelopes in the back if you want to give to that. Just pick up an envelope. It goes straight to Lottie Moon. 100% of that goes to international missions. No administration fees or nothing. That's a big offering they do once a year for that, just so you know what it is. The church, we're going to give as a church. So any of your donations that go in that will be added to and what we're going to give. And we just thank you for that. Also, Mike Blackwell, to keep him lifted up in prayer. They're watching him closely to see what to do about his cancer. Miss Gail, she had her CAT scan, but we don't know the details exactly what's going on there. Also, Mr. Charlie Brooks, we had a report on him from Amy. What, Mona, he's last night. Okay, keep her in prayer. And several people that we know in different churches all around here that's come down with COVID. And some of them, as you know, have severe symptoms and some of them don't. So keep these lifted up in prayer that's having a lot of respiratory problems. Also, Michael Holt family. I know Gilbert and Bobby, a bunch of people work with Michael, and I know other people knew him. He passed away. His service is going to be at 11 o'clock Wednesday at Bridges and Cameron, and they'll bury him at Grace over here. So keep him and his family lifted up in your prayer, and chance for the gospel to be shared at that service. Also pray for God's grace to restore peace on earth, peace with families, peace with each other, and most of all, peace with God, that people will come to know the peace that they can have with God through Jesus Christ. Also, some of you remember Mark Sanders. He was pastor at Sandy Branch Baptist Church, and he went on to College Park Baptist Church in Burlington. He was there. He was at Sandy Branch about 10 years or 9 years. And we did a lot of missions with him in Kentucky, for some of y'all that remember that. His daddy retired, and Mark was supposed to be going to pick him up and take him and his mama with them on vacation for Christmas. And his daddy ended up in the hospital with a UTI infection. And then on Wednesday night, he called Mark because he was supposed to pick him up Thursday morning, said he didn't feel right. His legs didn't feel right. And they took him 2 days to figure out what had happened to him. He's had a spinal stroke, and he's paralyzed from the chest down. He's at UNC, and Mark said they covered our prayers. He's lost all motor skills. Just remember to keep Ricky Sanders lifted up in your prayers, and Mark's mom also. Just keep them lifted up in your prayers. Is there any more prayer requests? Unspoken, as always, yes, ma'am, but we all have unspoken prayer requests. Yes, ma'am, and we want to thank that. And next Sunday, I'm going to go over some of the things, just so you'll know, from last year. We've had a lot of donations for different things, and we've done things. You noticed the new screens. We've worked on several projects around here to help the ministry as we overcoming COVID and getting back to work. So I'm going to announce some of that stuff next week, just so you'll know that. But today, we're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we're going to pray for these, and then our choir, y'all give the choir a hand. Our choir is going to be singing for us this morning, so let me go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you and thank you for this day, and we just ask that you'll just be with us. God, direct us now. Be with each of these on this prayer list. Lord, and you know their needs. Lord, I pray you just reach down, touch them, give them confidence. Lord, help the doctors explain to them what needs to be done next. Give the doctors wisdom and knowledge for the best course of treatment, the best plan to move ahead. Help a lot of these, Lord, that just their family this time of year that has lost loved ones. It's just a difficult time of year to lose loved ones. We just pray for that and pray for all these. And Lord, I know it's two or three other families that lost loved ones here this week of Christmas, and I just ask that now you'd be with them and be with all the unspoken prayer requests also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bobby, mute that piano. Thank you. Every story has a backstory a lot of times when we go into it. And as we think about things like Silent Night, I just want us to think about music. I'm going to talk about that a little more in the message in a minute. But, you know, Silent Night was the story of an Austrian monk that was walking, and it was so peaceful with the snow covering everything and so quiet that he ended up writing down these words. And about 2 years later, he was planning the Christmas Eve service, and in planning that, he was thinking of these words, and they needed a song. So he contacted the choir director, and they wrote the music to go with these lyrics, and this is how this song come about. But I want you to think, as they start singing this song, Silent Night, I just want you to think of all the quietness and the stillness of the night, and how God is working in the calm and in the peace of things to carry out his plan. Leave that piano muted. Thank you. and our great pianist. I wasn't trying to mute Miss Lori. I was trying to figure out where I was trying to figure out where these hums keep coming from that we keep having. They don't start till church starts. I don't know if it's the mics there or where it comes from. It starts about 10 o'clock every day. So I'm not sure where that starts. This morning, if you have, I know it's a familiar story about Christmas, but I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 1. 1 through 20 is what we're going to be looking at. It is the Christmas story, and we see that we should worship and praise God for keeping all His promises. All the promises in the Bible point forward to Christ. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, that Jesus is our yes and our amen to all the promises of God. All the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament points to the coming of the seed of the woman who would also be the Son of God, who would deliver us from our sins and restore us to peace with God. All the New Testament explains how Jesus fulfilled the promises of the Old Testament. And when we think about Christmas, we need to think about the backstory. I know a lot of y'all are familiar with backstories because a lot of you watch all these different TV shows that are in series. And, you know, now about everything's a miniseries. The show might last for an hour, but it's got an ongoing story that continues on. So next week when you turn that show on, the first thing they do is say, previously on whatever the name of your favorite show is. So to understand the Christmas story, you need to understand that previously God was already at work. Amen? That the Christmas story is about God's sovereignty. That means His control over His creation, His government over His economy. Guess what? God created everything. It belongs to God. God's in control of it. You say, well, it don't really look like it today, preacher. Hey, I didn't say everybody won't rebelling against God, including the weather. What I'm saying is no matter what happens, it doesn't catch God off a guard or surprise God in any way, because He's in control. And the Christmas story shows us that God is in control, that we should worship and praise Him for keeping His promises. So I just want to begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken in all the inhabited earth, Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, Quirinius was governor later, and I know this is debated a lot, but he was also a military commander that was there. So this is a census that was taken before 6 A.D. when he was governor there. So it was when he was under the authority of Augustus. I just want to cut that out in case of y'all have been Googling this. Amen? Because a lot of times Google gives us a lot of information that don't help us understand the Bible. It says this is the first census that was taken, and everyone was on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. That means hometown, right? Y'all all got a hometown? It's talking about they was going to their hometown. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank You that no matter how our circumstances look, no matter where we find ourselves in our situations, that, Lord, we know we can trust You. That, Lord, You are still in control. You're still bringing about Your salvation plan. You're still completing the Christmas story. Lord, we just thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you this morning to think about trusting God to complete the Christmas story. The Christmas story is real simple. The God created everything. It was perfect. He created us to enjoy His goodness. But humanity rebelled against God, caused something called sin, brought death and separation into the world. God promised to restore His reign and His rule by making a kingdom of people that were in right relationship with Him through a Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus come and lived the life we should have lived, died the death we deserved, was buried and raised so that we know we can have a new life. If you accept that new life in Christ, you are entered into God's kingdom under His rule. You say, well, I'm not in heaven yet. But when you're saved, the Holy Spirit regenerates you, changes your mind, changes your heart, and Jesus has rule over your life on earth. You say, well, where's the rule of God today? In the hearts of Christians. He's ruling over Christians' hearts and minds, even though the rest of the world is not. And that's the Christmas story. Now, if you want to understand the end, and, you know, I know some of y'all will be reading mystery books, and y'all always go to the end and find out what happened. How many of y'all do that? Oh, y'all ain't going to admit it, huh? Flip over to Revelation chapter 20 through 22, and you'll find out how the story ends. Here's the secret. God wins. Amen? So in the end, God wins. Sin is defeated, everything is restored to new, and that's what the Christmas story is about. That's why songs like Silent Night, talking about bringing the peace of God, are so important. I want you to know that you can trust God to use unwitting people and policies to arrange divine appointments. Everybody, just about everybody, I know a few people probably don't care, just about everybody's been upset with some kind of policy or some kind of mandate that's come in place during the pandemic. Would y'all all agree with that? Now, I could argue with you that mandates are not laws. And we could go all this, but guess what? No matter what is happening, no matter what people are doing, no matter what policies have passed, God is still in control. So I want you to see this. There's a young man, Joseph, a young woman named Mary. God has not spoken in 400 years to His people. The glory of God has left the temple. Zedekiah is the last king in the line of David to rule in Judea. And then the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, breaks the silence of God and speaks to Zacharias in the temple. And then 6 months later, he speaks to Mary. And then Joseph finds out that Mary's going to be pregnant and she's still a virgin, and it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And it says that he does not want to disgrace her because he's a righteous man. The angel tells him to take her as his engaged wife and to not have relations with her until Jesus is born. And Joseph does this. So you got this young man and this young woman who's got all these big plans for life. God steps in and God tells them that He's got bigger plans for them. But in the midst of all this, they already got enough problems. Probably Joseph's daddy and mama is like, no, you don't want to do this. Mary's mama and daddy is like, didn't we raise you better than this? So they already going through all these things that we go through every day. And in the midst of that, they get a decree to go and register to pay taxes. Because the Jews didn't have to register for the Roman military. So they get this decree. This decree is for them to go to Bethlehem, a little town about 9 miles from Jerusalem, but it was about 90 miles from Nazareth where they was at. So it's going to be a long trip, hard trip. It gets uphill. It's south from Nazareth, but the terrain is mountainous, so they're going uphill when it says they go up to Bethlehem. And so they get called to go up because Caesar Augustus has declared this census. Now, Caesar, what you need to know about him is that he was an adopted son of Julius Caesar, that when Julius Caesar was killed by the very people that put him into power, then this 19-year-old prince received the kingdom, and he come up with all kinds of names for himself. He was a great citizen. He was a great prince. He was a superior ruler. He come up with all these names. But then in 12 B.C., a shooting star went across the sky, and he declared that Julius Caesar Caesar had entered into heaven. And the Romans are superstitious, so they said he's a god. Therefore, Gaius, Octavian, Caesar is also a god. And so he was also declared a god. Now, Herod, the king, he was king in name only, and he's in control of Judea, and he is in the palace. He has done all this great work, and he's trusting in everything that he has built, everything that he has done. And Caesar, Augustus here, is trusting in all the power and everything he has. Neither one of them are trusting in God or think they need God. They think they're in control. Caesar declares his census, but guess what? Unwittingly, God sends Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy of Micah 2. Listen to what happens in Micah 2. In Micah 5, verse 2, it says, "But as for you, Bethlehem, too little among the clans of Judah." In other words, of all the clans of Judah, this was the smallest little hamlet or the smallest little village. It's so small, you wouldn't think nothing great would ever come from there. He says, "Too little among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago," or from eternity, "from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has bore a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will raise up and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace." God used government, people, and policies for a divine appointment for Mary and Joseph to be in Bethlehem in his appointed time to fulfill all of his promises. What about you? You know, often we feel like all kinds of things are going wrong in our lives. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe that flat tire was to put you in the right place so the person that stopped to help you, you could share the gospel with them? Have you ever thought when that person in front of you, now I have to admit, it's hard for me to think this way sometimes. Have you ever been in the grocery store in line and the person in front of you has already checked out, and then they remember they need 3 lottery tickets of a certain number, 2 packs of cigarettes, and something else the lady's got to go get? And you're standing there. Now, do you get jumpy? Or do you look behind the person behind you and say, "Are you having a blessed day?" Did you know that sometimes those divine appointments, when everything else is going wrong with you, could be the opportunity for you to share the love and the peace of Christ with somebody else? When they asked you how you can be calm in that situation, tell them, "Because Jesus is your peace." It's an opportunity to share Jesus with the world. Mary and Joseph was divinely moved by unwitting people to Bethlehem so that they could share Jesus with the world. And that's what we should do. And as Christmas is drawing to an end, I know today's the day after Christmas, but Christmas should be every day. Every day should be the day that we'd want to share the peace of Christ with others. So you need to know the backstory, what's going on. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says that a virgin will be born to you. And in that story there, Isaiah is speaking to Ahaz. Ahaz is the king of Judah. The king of Israel has decided to attack Judah, so he's lined up another king with him. And so Ahaz is in a panic mode. All the people, it says they was trembling like trees. So what he decides to do is, I'll make a pact with Assyria to protect Judah, that's the southern kingdom, from the northern king and these other kings that's lining up. Now here's the prophecy. When Isaiah prophesies, it's twofold. In that day, he's telling Ahaz, look, there's going to be a baby born of a virgin, of a young woman that's not had a child yet. When that baby is born, before he is old enough to know right from wrong, so within 5 or 6 years, guess what? These two kings that you are afraid of right now, they won't even exist no more. Do not make a pact with Assyria. Well, Lord, what should I do? You know what God says? Trust me. I've got this. You know what he did? Trusted Assyria. You want to know the moral to that story? Whatever you trust other than God is what will end up destroying you. Trust people, trust policies, trust politics, trust your power, your bank account. If you trust anything more than God, in the end, it will become your God and it will destroy you. Because there's only one true God, and his name is God of the highest. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, the things that we deal with in our life and we trust in is the things that destroy us. Think about David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. God makes a promise to Daniel. He tells David that he will have a son who will be great, who will be on the throne, and who will reign forever. In the immediate context, that is fulfilled because Solomon was the wisest man in the world because he trusted God in the beginning of his career. He ended up bringing peace to all of God's people. Everything was going good, but guess what? Solomon chose women over God and chose those women to bring their gods into Israel and set up false worship and ended up destroying his kingdom. When he died, the kingdom was divided into the northern and the southern. There was a civil war. It was always unrest. Did God answer his promise to David? Yeah, he gave him a son that was great. But guess what? All the people's looking at Solomon. One day, Solomon, he's not this guy we thought he was supposed to be. He's made some bad mistakes. So the Bible, if you was reading the Bible from beginning to end, is looking past Solomon. It's looking past this little baby that was born in the days of Isaiah, and it's looking forward to Christ, who is the ultimate king because he's fully God and fully man. So you need to know the backstory. So God is always working to place us into his sovereign plan. Second, I want you to remember this. If you know the backstory and trust God for these divine appointments, you also need to trust him to reveal his presence in divine ways. So Mary and Joseph, Luke don't tell us a lot. All we need to know is Scripture's being fulfilled. Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem. They're there. There's no room in the inn. Jesus is born. And we know that Jesus says in Luke 9:58 that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's talking about there was no one making room for God still on the earth when he come. Now, the angels come to these unexpected shepherd boys. Listen to this. It says in verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So in December, our calendar December time, in Jerusalem there, the temperature is still up. It's still, you know, pretty nice at night in the 50s. And so the shepherds are watching these sheep out in the fields. They keep the sheep out, and they have to have these sheep for daily sacrifices for the priests to make there in Jerusalem. So they're near Jerusalem where they can have these sheep for the sacrifice. And it says that the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, not the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, but an angel, it could be Gabriel, suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. So the glory of the Lord represents God's presence and God's power. throughout the Old Testament, the glory of God rested on the tabernacle. The glory of God passed by Moses, and when he moved his hand and Moses seen the back of the glory of God, his face became shiny, so that when he come down off the mountain, he had to put a veil on because the people could tell he had been in the presence of God and they was fearing him. When the glory of God shines around you, it changes your fear into joy. Now think about the shepherds. We can say 5 or 6 years later, we have some writings that say that a lot of people despised the shepherds because they didn't trust them in this, but we don't really know. When Luke don't tell us here, was the shepherds despised or what was going on, but we know that the shepherds were out in the field. They were lowly people. They was in the pasture, and God come and revealed his presence to them. Guess what? They weren't the richest people in town. They didn't drive the nicest cars. But God chose them to reveal his presence. Has God chose to reveal his presence to you? What about songs? This morning we were singing. Does the songs and the words of the song sometimes stir your heart? And you just know that God is in the midst of the worship service. You just know that God is speaking to you. Do you have some of those songs that you listen to in the car when everything else is going that wrong that day and you just put it in? I mean, I'm not a very musical person, but I got a lot of songs that mean a lot to me, and they change back and forth. Here lately, it's been "Didn't I Walk on Water." Every time I'm having a bad day, it's track 4, long as it lasts, I about wore it out. I put in that song, and Jesus says, "Didn't I leave all of heaven and come and die for your sins? I searched and searched till I found you, and I'll do it all again." Do you know, for that moment, you just know that no matter what's going on, Jesus has got you. And it might be in Christ alone. It might be Silent Night or Little Town of Bethlehem, or it might be How Great Thou Art. But when we hear these songs and they stir our heart, God is divinely speaking to us. Henry Blackaby says that God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit through prayer, his word, and other believers. Have you ever been talking to another believer and you know they got something going on in their life? You know they're having a difficult time. And all of a sudden you just see this shine come on their face where they are telling you how they know God. God has got this, how God is in control. When they do that, you need to share that with somebody else. You need to encourage them. When God speaks to us in divine ways, we need to be willing to celebrate and share that joy. The angel says to them, "Do not be afraid." Anytime God shows up with a message, all these people in this birth story end up afraid, frightened, because fear pushes them down because they're in the presence of the glory of God. He says, "Behold, I bring you good news." This was a regular greeting. It means I'm bringing you good news, like you're bringing good news back that the military campaign was victorious. I'm bringing you good news from a king. I'm bringing you good news. We're going to let y'all all not have to pay taxes this year, whatever the good news is. But he says, this is good news of a magnitude of joy, of great joy, which is for all people. He's speaking to the Jewish people, but he says this is for all people, everywhere. The Christmas story is a story of God bringing peace on earth to everyone. No matter what condition somebody's in, Jesus Christ can give them peace. Because we first know peace with God, then we know peace with one another. If you've got something going on in your life and you can't make peace with somebody else, and especially if they are a believer, you need to understand that you might have a problem with your peace with God. You might not be trusting God to reveal his presence divinely in that situation you're having a problem with. It might be a coworker, family member, church member. It might be your spouse. If you've got something going on all the time, and you need to know that God wants to bring peace to that situation. He says, this is great joy. It's news. Guess what? God is making peace between himself and humanity 1 Timothy 2:15, 2:5 says there's one mediator between God and man, or humanity, the man, Jesus Christ. Christ come that we might have peace. And we know this through music, through the message. The angel brings them a word from God. Guess what? Cheer up. I got good news. Guess what? God is present, so y'all can start smiling. Y'all gonna smile? Amen. I thought I was putting you to sleep. That's the message. And here it is. It's peace. It's a peace that comes over you you can't explain. Have you ever had peace from God and the situation didn't change? You just know that God's in control. That's where peace comes from. A lot of times we don't know about the cure yet. We don't know how we're going to pay that bill yet. We don't know how we're going to get that child to come back home and do right. We might not know none of this, but we know that God's got it. And that's his peace. He says here, for today in the city of David, in other words, the backstory here, the shepherds knew it. They was Jewish. They knew that there would be a child who would rule and reign and bring peace to God's people that would be born in Bethlehem, be born in the city of David. It says here that he was born for you, Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Only time in the New Testament, all these words used in the New Testament, only time all three titles of Jesus is put together. Savior. Matthew says that you'll name him Jesus or Joshua because he will save his people from their sin. He is Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one of God, the priest that will bring the sacrifice to God that makes us right with God. The king, that's who was anointed in the Old Testament. Kings and priests were anointed. And then Lord in Deuteronomy, all through the Old Testament when it speaks of, and the New Testament speaks of it as Adonai, the Lord. It is speaking of the Lord God. So he is Savior. He's the ruler and the priest of your sacrifice. And guess what? He's God himself. That is the message that he divinely sends to these shepherds. And it says, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts. That means a bunch of angels praising God and singing glory to God. And in other words, this is a favorable circumstances of God has come upon these people, and now these angels are singing. They speaking of an unusual type of honor that needs to be given to God. Guess what? God has done something unique. He's done something divine. He's done something unusual. He needs to honor for this. It is God in the highest. In other words, think of the greatest thing on earth that could help you. And then keep going and going and going till you can't go no more. And God's above that, is what he's saying. God is greater than anything you've been trusting to help you on this earth, to bring you peace. And they said, glory to God. And they're singing. That's this divine appointment where everything seems in harmony. Everything seems good. Have you ever been to a church service like that? They don't happen all the time. I'll admit that. But when the Holy Spirit is working and everybody's in unison and God is trying to get all of us our attention, and all of a sudden we get focused on the music, the message, and the peace of God, all of a sudden we all just get pulled together, lifted up. The angels are singing. In chapter 15 of Luke, Jesus says that if one is lost, he would go look for him, leave the 99, and when he finds that one, that the angels of God would rejoice more over that one that's brought home than the 99 that was right sitting in the pew. When was the last time when somebody accepted faith in Christ, asked for forgiveness, asked for a new life, that you got so excited that you just had to call people when you get home and tell them, guess what, somebody got saved tonight. Look what has happened. We ought to be longing to see more and more people saved. See more and more people receive the divine peace of God in their life. When we do this, then we can trust God for our divine appointments,
We can trust His presence to bring us peace. And then here's how we can rightly respond today. We can worship and praise God for His grace bringing peace to all of our life. Look what happens in verse 15. The angels brought the message. They had brought this divine message to the shepherds. And it says, when they had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem. Say, let us. Let us go tell people. Let us go teach people. And let us treasure in our heart the divine message God has entrusted us, the message of the gospel, the good news of great joy to everyone, that there's peace on earth for all people through Jesus Christ. They said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. When God makes something known to you in church, I know that sometimes you're listening to the message or a song, and you hear something, and God is speaking to you. It might be something you need to do. Might need be something you need to stop doing. It might be something that God is telling you you ought to help somebody with. Whatever it is, when church is over, if you don't make up your mind before you leave that pew to do that thing, when you get through that door, I promise you that something will distract you and you'll forget to do what God just told you to do. How many times have you been sitting? I call it white knuckle because I see people sometimes, right? You're giving the invitation and they're holding on. I ain't going nowhere, Lord. I'm going to stay here, Lord. Right? You know what that's called? Fear. You know what the angel says? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Hey, God's got a good message for you. Guess what? He's going to help you complete it. When God is talking to you, might be in your quiet time, your prayer time, or your Bible reading time. Might be when you're preparing a lesson. Whatever's going on in your life, when God speaks to you, say, yeah, Lord, let me go do that right now before I forget. The older I get, I believe I've got part-timers. Part of the time I forget what I promised I'd do. Amen? Have to write it down. When you promise God you're going to do something, get busy doing it. You still have to go to work. You still got to look after your family. You still might have to cook, wash dishes. You still might have to mow the yard. But guess what? In the midst of regular life, you can do the things that God calls you to do. This is what the shepherds did. They said, let us go see what God said. Hey, we trust God. We believe Him. Hey, it's a backstory. Son of God's going to be born in Bethlehem. Son of God's going to be great. Son of God's going to bring peace. Son of God is going to restore God's kingdom. Hey, let us go see this thing. Where are we going? To Bethlehem? What are we going to look for? A man and a woman with a baby. Well, what's unique about that? He's going to be in a feed trough. God didn't give them a whole lot of details, but He gave them some unique details. You know, I was thinking about Jesus not having nowhere to lay His head. And I had somebody I've helped and helped and helped and helped and helped. And I've helped them some more. Did I say I helped them? They only helped themselves enough to get somebody else to help them. This is their history. I've led them to the Lord. They're supposed to be saved. All this goes on. They were going through something. I mean, they brought it on themselves. I wasn't going to help them, but I did work as a go-between them and some ways to get them help if they put forth the effort so they wouldn't be homeless for Christmas. Now, the easiest thing probably been for me just to step in and took care of the problem. But I knew that was enabling them to trust in the way they've always done things before instead of getting so low down that there was nobody on Christmas morning they could look to but God. Didn't leave them in the cold, but made sure that they knew at 11 o'clock they got to trust in God again for tomorrow. Sometimes when God gives us a message, we need to immediately enact it in our lives and go do it. And it says that they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lays in the manger. I want to make this point here. I've been talking about what God promises. They found the baby just as God said they would find Him. A lot of times, we don't trust that when God speaks into our situation, that God's going to be able to handle it the way He said. Sometimes the hardest thing for us to trust is that God is going to work out the details that we don't understand. They went straight there, and it says, verse 17, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. So they began to teach. William Faith says that the reason people don't share Christ is because of fear. They either afraid people won't accept them, but mostly they're afraid they don't know enough. I don't know enough scripture. I don't know enough of the Bible. Tell them the facts you got. Did you get saved? How'd that happen? Well, my life was a train wreck. You ain't got to give them all the details. I had tried everything else. Guess what? It all messed up. I trusted Jesus. He changed my thinking and my heart. I started doing things His way. And guess what? They started working out. I didn't do nothing miraculous. God did. You tell them your backstory. Tell them where you met Jesus, how you met Him, and then tell them how things are going now. See, a lot of people think the Christian life is the perfect life. I hope everybody in here realizes that none of us have a perfect life while we're still on this earth, because sin's around. And sin is always causing us problems. But guess what? My best day before Jesus doesn't compare to my worst day now with Jesus. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding when you trust in God and trust in His plan. You can teach this. He tells all the people, guess what? We was out in the pasture, dark, hanging out. The angels of the Lord come. They was singing, shouting, preaching. We had some church. They went home. We come to tell y'all. Guess what? God keeps His promises. We come to tell y'all what we had heard. We come to tell y'all that we've seen what He promised. And then look, follow this on just a little bit farther. In verse 18 it says, and all who heard that wondered at these things that were told to them by the shepherds. So they got their curiosity up. You know what they're thinking? We must have been divinely appointed to be here. We weren't planning on being here, but we was here. Now God has sent the shepherds. They've come with this story. They're telling us, let us think about this. Well, did God divinely let us know something? What, is this the Christ, the Messiah we're looking for? Born in a stable instead of a palace? Then it says, but Mary treasured these things. To treasure means to store something in your mind and you take it out and look at it later. You know, like y'all rent those mini storage buildings. You put that stuff in it, you don't think about it for 4 or 5 years, and then you get ready for Christmas and you're like, oh yeah, I got that ornament. Where's it at? And you go over there and you look all day and you find it and you take it out. But as you're taking it out, you get all these pictures, you got all this stuff that's been in storage forever, and you'd forgot about it, and you go reminiscing, thinking about that stuff. Y'all ever done that when you're looking for your Christmas stuff? This is what Mary did. It says she stored all these things in her heart. And she treasured them and pondered them. This word for ponder is the word to throw together. It's the idea of putting a jigsaw puzzle together. She would take these things out. They was treasures. She says, the angel told me I would have a son. He'd be holy. His name would be Jesus. He'd be born in Bethlehem. He would save His people from His sin. Says she pondered these. You ever thought about this? Before this chapter is over, when she goes to dedicate Jesus, like is custom, Simeon says that, Mary, you'll be pierced through your heart for the grief that your son will carry. Have you ever thought about how much trust, Mary? We always talk about Christmas. We don't fast forward. At the cross, when Mary is standing looking at Jesus bleeding, bloody, and dying for our sins. If she hadn't trusted God, all she'd had to say is, no, this is not the Son of God. Jesus, the Nazareth, was the son of Joseph, not God. Have you ever thought about that? That would have been a witness that could have got Jesus declared innocent for claiming to be a king. But Mary treasured these things. Guess what she understood? Jesus died for her sins too. She trusted God and God's plan to the end by treasuring these things. It says here in the scripture that the shepherds went back. So God gave them a divine message. They went. They was teaching what they knew about it. They was telling others what they had heard, telling them what they'd seen. And then they go back to their normal way of life. It's Monday morning, and it says here, two participles. Here's how they're going about their day. Glorifying and praising God. What's the reason they're glorifying and praising God? Because of what they heard, seen, and had been told. Has God ever said anything in His Bible that you found not true? Has God ever made a promise to you that didn't come true? You say, well, I've got a lot of promises and they ain't true yet. Hey, your life ain't over. And if you save, it goes into eternity. Some things that we're waiting on, we won't know till we get to heaven. Trust is saying, God, I trust you to fulfill it either on this earth or in eternity to come. Because I believe that everything I've heard, I will see. And everything I've been told is true. Let us pray. The most important question you can ever ask anyone is, have you trusted Jesus Christ for peace? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior? In John 14, 26 and 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor be fearful. God says, don't let your mind and your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Trust me to forgive you of your sins. I'll give you peace with God, and you can know for sure that your eternity is secure. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you was born of a virgin. You lived sinless on this earth. You died for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me. I believe you was risen from the grave. My sins are paid for, and I'm asking to have a new life with you and take control of that life. If you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a long time, I just ask you this. Do you still trust God to schedule divine appointments for your life? When it seems like you don't have any control over your life, do you still trust that God's going to put you in a place, in a position, and give you the opportunity to bring Him glory and to worship Him? Do you believe that it's worthwhile to read your Bible, to pray, to come to church so that God can speak to you in divine ways through music, message, through the reading of His Word, through prayer, through fellowship with other Christians? If you've been neglecting that this year, I'd ask you right now, just commit, Lord, next year, I'm going to commit to being aware of where you're leading me and how you're speaking to me. And then, Lord, I'm going to go and teach, tell, and treasure all those things with other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Get to stand and sing. Everybody stand. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Thank you.
Thank y'all for coming. Y'all give God a hand. Give Miss Lori, Miss Diana, and our choir a big hand. I think the choir is going to sing again at the end of February, the last Sunday in February, and so we'll put it up on the screen, a practice time to practice some of those songs. Next Sunday, Kirby Adcock will be here singing. Miss Alma that comes a lot, his sister, hey, Miss Alma. She's out there in the parking lot. She is coming next Sunday, probably inside. Kirby's her brother. He's been here before. He's coming to play, and he'll bring our music next Sunday. I look forward to that. Y'all have a happy and blessed new year, and thank y'all for coming. And the offering buckets, or the white buckets in the front and the back. Thank y'all.